Thanks so much for joining us. My name's Hoffman Wolf, and I'm the social economy manager at CNET. Quebec's a world leader in the social economy. We're here to highlight some of the innovative things social enterprises are doing here and to meet some of the really cool people involved in them. Today, we'll be talking with Gabrielle Crevier and Jody Zink from the Patriote de Québec Gaelic Football Club in Quebec City. I wanted to bring them on to expand the map a bit on how we think about social economy enterprises and what they can be. While many enterprises are closely aligned with the social economy ecosystem in the province, many more of them aren't. But you don't have to consider yourself a social economy enterprise to be one. Many organizations are important forces for change and community building. In today's chat, we'll learn what Gaelic football is, how the club grew organically into what it is today, and the reach of the club beyond just playing a sport. On today's episode, we'd like to welcome two members of the Patriote de Québec Gaelic Football Club here in Quebec City. We have Gabrielle Crevier and Jody Zink joining us. Thanks so much for coming on and talking to us a little bit about the club and what you guys do.
Thanks.
Thank you for the invite.
Gabrielle, I'll let you start. Maybe share a little bit about your role with the club and everything from being on the board to a player and all of that.
Yes, so basically, the basic of all, I'm a player first, but then I'm also right now a secretary. I've been secretary of the club for, I don't know, four years or something. but I'm also doing coaching and a bit of refereeing. So coaching a bit for the ladies side, then refereeing same. I have a certification for the ladies Gaelic football. So I'm all in all. Also, as part of a member of the board, we're organizing a lot of stuff. So I'm doing a bit of everything around.
And Jody, what's your role with the club?
Right now, well, I was on the board for a couple of years. And in that capacity, my role was, I think, development officer for a while. But one big thing we worked on last year was organizing the Eastern Championships, which happened here in Quebec City. Actually in Pont Rouge, but Quebec City. We were the host club last year. And now I still am heavily involved with coaching and arranging tournament teams and that sort of thing. I think we've been in the club for about the same length of time, but Gab's been secretary for most of the time I've been.
And for the audience, why don't you give a little bit, kind of a quick and dirty, what is Gaelic football?
Everybody assumes it's like rugby. Because I guess that's the closest association of a ball sport that's close enough that people know what it is, but not close enough that they fully understand it. But Gaelic football is completely different. The closest cousin really is Australian rules football, which clarifies absolutely nothing for most people listening, I'm sure. It is a sport where you carry a round ball in your hands. And the ball needs to leave your hands every four steps, basically. You can kick it, you can bounce it off your foot and back into your hands, you can bounce it off the ground and back into your hands, and you can also pass it off using your hands. And you score by putting it either in a goal, which looks like a soccer goal, and that's worth 3 points, or by putting it over the crossbar of that goal, which is worth 1 point. So that's more like a field goal in Canadian or American football. But that's roughly it. Very similar for men's and women's sports, but that's the general gist of it.
What I would add is the origin of the sport, I think, yeah. basically, Gaelic football comes, it's one of the national sports in Ireland with the Hurling, Camogie, and I forgot what's the other one, but something similar to basketball. And I'm sorry, it's to baseball, so... Yeah, Gaelic football, that's where we learn, that's where it comes from. That's where we don't know much about it. It's a sport that's mainly played over there, but there's a bunch of little clubs across the world, usually founded by Irish, but not necessarily still run by Irish. So that's where it comes from. That's a bit through that we got to know it. And if you want to watch it, you either come to see local clubs or you go to Ireland.
It's the most popular sport in Ireland and nowhere else.
You guys kind of alluded to it there, but how does Gaelic Football Club, a sport that's mostly centered in Ireland. How does a Gaelic football club get started in Quebec City?
One of the founder was actually, well, there's not only one, but it was a bunch of guys who, some of them were Irish, and they just decided to create a club. That's something like the Gaelic Association. That's something you can do whichever. They let you like create a club and be part of the association a bit across the world. I think it's a kind of a way to help the Irish diaspora, which is, you got Irish people everywhere across the world. So it's pretty easy to create a new club wherever you are. And so those guys, they just like to play the together, and they just decided to make it official and create a club, which grew a bit. It started in 2006. So we've been around from that time, going up and down with numbers. But right now we're pretty much growing. And of course, like having Irish around always help for, because they know the sports. But presently, you just have people who fell in love with the sport and just want to grow it more. And you got other clubs, like the closest we got is Montreal, which is a way older club. I think they've been around since 50 years. I think they celebrated their 50 years. So that's the closest we got. They're way bigger than us, but they started the same way, mostly Irish. They still have a lot of Irish, but there's a lot of non-Irish people like us who just want to expand the sport because they felt in love with it.
The dynamic of whether a club has Irish players is one of the very unique things about this game, is because it's so heavily associated with Ireland. Most of the clubs overseas, from my understanding, I mean, they do recruit anybody, but they tend to exist more to serve the Irish diaspora's interest in maintaining this sport. As Gab said, our club was founded by members of the Irish diaspora, but with time, we have no Irish players registered with the club right now. We had one last year who was briefly over on a...
Oh, no, we have one.
Oh, yeah, we do. We that's right. One. Anyway, this one is... Yeah. Mostly,
he's just been injured.
Yes, that's
so.
True. That's true. Most of the club's members now are not Irish, however, which is one thing that makes us pretty unique. Even when we go to tournaments, the other teams all comment on that. They go, "How does this team know how to play so well?" Which is a humble brag. But sometimes it was, "How does this team not know how to play at all?" was something else we've heard. So,
you mentioned a little bit the Gaelic Athletic Association. What's sort of the connection? So there is an organization in Ireland that sanctions the league, or what's their connection, or sanctions the club?
So basically, you got the Gaelic Athletic Association, which sanction like all the league in Ireland, including also hurling, which is their other Irish sport. And then you got all the clubs across the world who got like let's say a division. It's like division. So here in Canada, it's the Canadian Gaelic Athletic Association, CGA. So for them, they have to go through like, they're part of the GA. So we have to follow the rules through that. And we're part of like the division with like Ulster in Ireland. So that's what's kind of interesting compared to other sports. Like you have the Soccer Canadian Association. When it, for us, like, the base of the Canadian the CGA is based in Ireland. So we kind of like, even though we're a small club, we got maybe different club, we're related to them. So if you go in Ireland to Croke Park, which is like the big stadium in Dublin where they play all the finals, you can find somewhere there, you see the crest of our club, because, and the one of all the cross, all the clubs across the world were part of the CGA, the GA.
It is entirely amateur, and that can be surprising when you watch a high-level game from Ireland, because people assume they're professionals, and certainly it looks professional quality. But one of my favorite things about watching those games is you'll hear the commentators talk about how a certain player had trouble getting the time off work to be available for the All-Ireland Championship, which is the highest level of Gaelic football in Ireland. It is also, so I was going to say, fun fact, it's all amateur. Also, fun fact, heavily associated with the Irish nationalist movement, which I think may be part of the reason that it has maintained its center in Dublin. And then the clubs basically are centered in each community. The clubs are then organized by county. The county is then organized by province, I think, and that's why we are associated with Ulster, which is roughly like Northern Ireland. But we're associated with Ulster. Technically, Canada is part of Ulster for the purpose of the GAA, because we need to be within a county unit.
And then within Canada, you got the four divisions. We got Eastern Canada GAA, which is us, mostly like Quebec, Ontario, and Halifax. Yep, Maritime. And then you got Toronto, which itself, it's the old division. They got so many clubs there. Then you got the Western division with Calgary and Edmonton. And then you got the Vancouver one. So it's just growing a bit everywhere. And you see more Irish in Vancouver and Toronto, but for the rest, we got like a lot of Canadian playing now.
That's, you can see roughly the places that would probably have the most Irish immigrants are the places that probably have the most thriving Gaelic sports scene. Toronto and Vancouver on their own have, I don't know how many clubs, but certainly enough that they can almost have a league between clubs with just Irish immigrants, if I understand correctly.
You're part of the Gaelic Athletic Association. Here in Quebec City, are you a separate nonprofit, or what's kind of your structure? How is the club structured?
So we're basically a nonprofit, not organization, but kind of organization, but called like a person on the Registre des Entreprises. So we're recognized by this the city of Quebec City as a club and association where we provide like services for youth and adult in Quebec City, which is like the Gaelic sports. So regarding to that, where all the work we do, it's nonprofit. So it's mostly to like, the money we get from member is just to run our activities. So be able to rent pitches around Quebec City, but also like be able to register our players who want to do tournaments against other clubs. So that's mostly what we want to do. But our main objective, like as a club, has always been like to develop Gaelic sports. So since the beginning, we just wanted the sports to get known and get as many people as possible to play. And going through like being recognized by the city of Quebec was a big step for that, because we got access to more pitches, and which means more times, and we can welcome more people to come and play. And regarding to that, so we're basically all volunteers, which is the executive committee, the board, never know how to say that. We're all volunteers to do that. All the coaches are volunteers. All the referees are volunteers. All the volunteers are volunteers to organize all the activities we do. And we tried also to like a bit give back. So we've been volunteering for other events, either to get a bit of collaboration, like to get a bit of a exchange in services. So money to give back, like we did
Pierre Lavoie. Pierre Lavoie, that's the one.
Et la fête nationale du jour. So we kind of give of our time, and we get to raise a bit of money for also like some of our players to get them to tournaments. That's basically the structure. It's all based on the desire of some people to get the club to grow and give of their personal time, which is like, I think any organization is pretty hard to find people motivated to do that. Everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to like be part of some groups, but taking the time to actually like be in the structure with the committee is much harder to find people willing to do that.
There's a lot of, I don't want to say busy work, but a lot of tiny little details that need to be ironed out to make all these big things happen, which we found out last year when we hosted the Eastern Championships. And now every time I go to a tournament, I'm reminded, oh, right, yeah, these guys put a lot of work into this, because the other big thing, one specific example, sorry, it's not a big thing, but so Gaelic football has very unique goals. It has a soccer goal plus uprights above the vertical posts of the soccer goal. And what that means is, if you want to host a tournament, you need to find a way to attach posts to the goals. And we've played around with this many, many times, but that's one last thing, one little thing that there's no field that's ready for us to play on. There's always going to be little upkeep. And so I think last year we ran off to Kanak on a Saturday afternoon and then brought did we use duct tape or electric? Anyway, you end up strapping PVC piping to a soccer goal to make your tournaments happen. And it looks very official, but in the moment it feels kind of, kind of like, is this really going to work?
It did work.
It worked.
So for neither of you being Irish, what's the motivation for you to promote an Irish sport? Or what do you get out of being members of the club, and in your case, Gabrielle, currently, in the past, Jody, members of the board?
The sport's awesome. Don't get me wrong, the Irish cultural aspect, I actually knew what Gaelic football was well before I tried it, because an Irish history course I took in university, and I had done some traveling in Ireland and seen it, and I've enjoyed Irish culture my entire life, but I mean, I wouldn't keep playing Gaelic football if it wasn't really fun to play, and that's part of the reason why it's less the cultural aspect, although that does make it very interesting, than just the sport is really friggin' fun to play.
Well, right, and you said there's the playing aspect, but what's the motivation for you to do everything else as far as the administering tournaments and previously being on the boards and all that?
For me personally, one thing I like to say is that a club like this or an organization this size will die if its members don't care, which is a dark way of phrasing it, but basically it's, when you get down to this, to a group this size, at some point, someone actually has to step up and do the thing that needs to get done if it's going to happen. And then, by the way, if nobody steps up to do it, it doesn't happen. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes we have ambitions beyond what our club's resources can give us. But that was when I realized, I just said, at some point, someone's got to sit down and actually, like, for example, filling out the grant application that we did for the Easterns last year. I was like, at some point, somebody's got to give up their evening, which is what I did, and sit down and pound out this application so that we can make this thing happen. It's the same with stepping up for coaching. I actually stepped in more as a replacement at first, and now it's become a regular thing. But that's, the commitment to an organization like this is, if you think it's worth your time and energy, at some point it's going to be your time and energy that is necessary.
On my part, it's like a bit, I'll say, I don't know if Judy lived a bit the same thing, but when I moved to Quebec City, I moved for university, and how I learned about Gaelic football was true friend I was playing soccer with in Montreal. So before moving, she actually brought me to some practice, and I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting, I like it. And then they just straight away like say, oh, we're going to do a tournament in Quebec, do you want to come? I did like only a few practice, came to Quebec, and that's the way I got there. Say, oh, there's a team in Quebec, and there's actually two girls, they want to like grow the club, and I got to meet them. So the way I see it, it's how it's so friendly to start a new sport. You meet so many people straight away. You get opportunity to go participate in foreign tournaments. And here in Quebec City, I think I'm not the only one who, basically right now, most of my friends are true Gaelic football, because when I moved, that's with who I was hanging out the most, because I like playing sports. And all the people I met were people from all different backgrounds, and we all like fell in love with it and with the people that the sports like was attracted to it. So I think that's the reason why I would want the club, why I put my time on, and I want people to discover what I discovered, like the fun to like go to play here in Quebec, create their community, and then having the chance to go to tournaments as an adult. Like I'm 33 years old right now, and I get a chance to go to a tournament in Vancouver, and last year I had the chance to play in Ireland. So I think that's the community around it, not only for a club, but I think any club who started, like Peterborough is the newest club, and you can see them the way we were maybe 5 years ago when we started to grow numbers back. And it's just the reason why I think for me that I keep being implicated, because I want to offer the chance to other people to live what I live through, be part of the community, and seeing other clubs that are bigger and like kind of be able to recreate that here in Quebec City. So that's why I'm hooked up. I'm hooked at that, and I still give a lot of my time. It's that I don't think it's wasted time. It's something, it's a, it was really nice to see it grow. Like we said, like 4 years ago during COVID or before COVID, sometimes when at practice, we're only four people.
Or even fewer.
Fewer, but we're like happy to play. We're like, oh, well, we're four, let's play. And then COVID hit, and for us, it was like kind of a blessing because everybody was up to go and play and discover new stuff because you couldn't do anything else. So that vibe was really magical, and that's how we got like more people coming up, and then a number just grows. So personally, kind of like, I think that's a perfect sport to get to know people when, especially if you move to Quebec City, like we don't even just have Quebecer, but you get to meet people that you don't usually would necessarily hang out with, get a bit outside of your comfort zone, try something new, go for regarding the Irish community. For myself, like all the Irish were, as I met, were amazing, and I love the country. So I was like, I want to help promoting it. And I wish we had more Irish people to try to like kind of say thank you for that community to bring that sport to us and resharing it. I would say as one of my favorite memory from the first tournament I made was like going out at the bar after and having some Irish music being played by a band and everybody dancing. I think that's one of the highlights that you can have. So around that, it was basically that. I think the sports and the community is like, it's like perfect combination of like really attractive sport and really nice community surrounding it.
I want to add, because my answer to that question was very dark and serious. I 100% agree with everything Gab just said as well. It is, I also, you stick with a group like this because you know it's a good group. That during the pandemic, we had a core kind of critical mass, I guess, of people we knew through the club who maybe we were in similar life situations, a lot of us living alone, or a lot of us, you know, not a lot of us had family started yet. So we would go for hikes together. We all just wanted exercise somehow. And it was really, really healthy and supportive during the pandemic. I would also add the one thing I really like about this club is that it's a club. And what I mean by that is when you're an adult, a lot of the sports that you'll play tend to be organized in leagues, like Gab plays in a soccer league still. And it's basically you pay for a league season. And once the season's over, the team is over. Now, maybe it's, you know, your friends and you stay in touch and all that sort of thing. But Hoffman, you probably are familiar with the same situation with basketball, which is a sport I also love, that if you want to play, you have to pay to register a team. And when you're new in a place and you don't know the people, it's hard to find a team. And then the season lasts, what, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, maybe 16 if you're lucky, and then the season's over and it doesn't exist. With us, it's a club. You pay a membership for a year, and that means you have the right to participate in all trainings, all tournaments, all social events. I mean, people are welcome to come to those anyway, but it means you get a little more involved in all those processes. And that structure kind of inherently creates a community, I find. So what that means is, you know, we have people of all varying skill levels in terms of the sport who stay for reasons other than what they're doing on the field, right? Like there's really talented athletes who maybe find it's not challenging enough, but then there's maybe less talented athletes who find their role in the club in another way and develop over time. It's you don't have to feel like I paid my money for 12 weeks. I better get as much out of it as possible. I paid my membership. I'm going to, you know, enjoy this in my way, be part of this community in my way, which is really nice, the flexibility.
How many members do you guys have?
Right now, we are a bit over 50, so around 55, I would say.
And are you funded exclusively by player registration fees?
We got player registration fee. We also got what is called like the GGDF,
Global Games Development Fund.
Exactly. So that's a fund created by Irish foreign They're for
the DFA, I think. The Irish, the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Thank you. Jody will like complete my sentence. But that's a fund that basically every club across the world can apply, and you present a project every year, and that's their way of developing Gaelic sport outside outside Ireland, and also basically bringing a bit of home for Irish people wherever they live. So that's a big part, because every year, like, that's what helped us a lot last year with the Eastern Championship that we organized, but also this year with our Winter League. So that's one of the grants we get for funding. We also apply to other, we get like, we've been supported by the Le Député Étienne Grandmont.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for with the volunteer program, I'm sorry if I mistake the names. So yeah, we get funded too by, we have sponsors. Our main one is the Pub Galway here on Avenue Cartier in Quebec City. We also got some little sponsor coming up, like either for specific events, like the place I worked last year gave us some money for the tournament, Avances Coopérative. We also got like one of our former members, which was a girl from Singapore. She was just there for a summer, but she had like a little enterprise called Export R, and she sponsored like the tournament. So it's really nice. It's hard to find sponsors, but that's an important thing to be able for us to make sure every year, because club members is a big part of our funding, but the membership fee, which... But we, one big thing I think for me is important in general with the sport that is not well known is to keep a registration fee low. So that's how we're going to attract people, because we know basically people in general play other sports. They do yoga, they do a lot of other stuff. So to try to get as many people, want to keep it low. So try to find sponsors or help through the city or wherever, whatever other place we can get. That's important. Go ahead, Judy.
You never know what it's going to bring you, right? Because like you said, if you keep the fee, in keeping the fee low, especially for new members, because we want to encourage people to try it, and you never know what you might find. Like in some, obviously all of us were at one point a new member, the entire board paid the new member fee at some point, and we've had people who found, like the example you mentioned from last year, we've had people who provided sponsorship funds as well, who, you know, it's just purely by being open. The general, again, the mission of the club is to grow Gaelic sports. So if, you know, people show up and want to try them, we want to make sure they have the chance to do that and encourage them in that pursuit. And sometimes it comes to sometimes the benefits to the club can be pretty significant depending on the individual, and you never know. So anybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome.
How do you recruit new members?
We grab them by the earlobe and we pull really, really hard until they are on the field with us and they feel afraid to run away. That was a joke. word of mouth is a big one, as Gab said. We publish on Facebook. We buy social media ads too, right?
We try now with the city advertise, like try to be present, having our club member wearing some training tops with her name on it. But really, like, best way to approach people is having somebody that you know already playing. We still got people like writing to us through our Facebook page, because we want anybody wants to try, like, just send us a message and come and try. But I think the best way that didn't work before was just people having a friend that played, bring them over, we'll show them the basic, and if they like it, they keep coming.
We do still have. We have a lot of members who still play two sports, which is wonderful. And often they will show up with a friend who plays soccer, volleyball, or basketball. We get people that way. We also, there's a Facebook group called Anglophones Living in Quebec City. And that is how I discovered it. And we have a couple members who I can think of off the top of my head who found it that way. So certainly casting a wide net and broadcasting it, sometimes it's dispiriting to tell, you know, to send a huge social media message and get very little response, but sometimes you get one or two people and that makes the whole thing worth it. Sometimes you get more than one or two. But so we do everything we can. It feels borderline like preaching the gospel or something, you know, just like trying to convert every other person you meet who hasn't heard. What's Gaelic football? Well, let me tell.
Well, it was kind of a running joke how much we're like felt like a bit like a cult. It was like going around and being, oh, did you hear about Gaelic football? It's just,
you know, Gaelic plays a really interesting sport. What's it called? Funny you should ask. Great conversation starter too. Everybody goes, what's that? C'est quoi juste? And you're just like, oh, well, how long do you have?
I was just going to say, it is like the biggest challenge. And as an example, I was just talking, having a meeting because with some people from other clubs, and you had one girl from the Ottawa Gaels were asking, because Montreal, they got so many new players for the ladies Gaelic football. And I wish she was that I need to pick up, like, where do you get your players from? And often it's just always, oh, we did an activity running, and then some people brought their friend from rugby. So it's like having a hand in different communities. So you can really have people bringing a friend, a buddy to the practice, that to be able to discover a new sport. I think that's the best way, especially because at our age, people, they either like play soccer 4 times a week or they do the same sport. They're not tending to like try new team sport. In general, you're going to get into running, you're going to get into yoga, but getting into Gaelic football needs a bit of a push from a friend to try. So really spreading the word. And that's why we thank you often. Like, that gives us a bit more visibility today.
Yeah, if we like the Gab, you talk about this a lot, that like it would be wonderful, the more the better. And it would be wonderful if we could have, I think at least yours, Gab, but I would agree with this, that your dream within reason is to have a big enough club that we can have a league played entirely within Quebec City. Because one of the challenge we have right now, again, is purely of numbers. As we said, it's hard to get into separate. We'd like to be able to get into more separate men's and women's games, and more separate maybe senior and junior, or, you know, more developmental casual games and more competitive ones. And the numbers are the foundation of all that. So come try it.
So you mentioned a little bit, you have the local games, and then you have provincial tournaments and national tournaments and international. Kind of, what's your structure? How does that work?
So basically the regular season, which is really where anybody can play, we start in January and we finish around end of September, mid-October. We do like 2 practices a week, which we call practice, but sometimes it's a game. So if somebody just want to play in Quebec City, they have plenty of opportunity to come and train and play. And if that's what satisfies them, they can just play here in Quebec. In the winter, we do like a co-ed league. And in the summer, sometimes we do a league type of structure, or just like pickup games. So you really have like, that's the basic like structure if you want to play in Quebec City. But then if you want to play a bit more competitive, or just meet other people from other clubs, you got either a friendly tournament every year. So you got one like in Ottawa, the Spring Thaw, at the beginning of at the end of April, sorry. And then you got like something like the Pride tournament in Montreal, and another one at the end of in September. So it's just those friendly tournament when they mix all the players, men and women, and we all play Gaelic games during the day. And then if you really want to like get more into it, and also it's like, even though we call it more competitive, there's different level. Like, if the more teams your club have, the more different level you can have of people playing. But we got a lot of tournaments that is like inter-club. So you got the tournament, which can be like, we got a Quebec Cup, which is Montreal against Quebec. We got the Eastern Championship, which is all the Eastern teams. And you also got like different type of tournament you can participate, like the Montreal May tournament, which you got team from either the USA, Toronto, or the division. And we also got invited to tournaments like the ones in Calgary and stuff like that. And then if you really want to go a bit upper level, you can do Canadian National Championship, which is a bit similar tournament, but just bigger, because you're going to have teams from all over Canada. And also, I think there might be some US team in there. And every 3 years, which is like the big goal for us, you can do the GA World Games, which is where teams of all the countries, or it's not necessarily countries, but it can be region in countries, send teams and you competition against each other. So that's basically like the World Cup for non-Irish players, because you got the category for Irish expat and also international players, which are us, that we're not born in Ireland and just learn their sport later. So that's the biggest achievement. And I think that's what's fun about Gaelic football, because even though you can start late, you can start at 30 years old, you might get a chance to play against a team like France or Germany at a tournament in, often it's in Ireland, but sometimes it might be other places. So that's a bit the structure. So there's really like, if you want to play just friendly level here in Quebec, we got you covered. If you want to play a bit more competitive, we got you covered as well. And if you want to like for a week pretend you're representing your country at a bigger competition, we got you covered too. So that's what's fun about that. You can really like got the opportunity to play every level and everywhere. Nice.
Yeah, just to clarify, Gab did go represent Canada last year in Ireland.
Nice.
As did several other of our club members, men and women. So that's, yeah, like you said, you never think you're going to discover a sport at 29, 30 years old, and within 3 years you'll be representing your country in it.
Through all that, do you see, I guess that takes some logistics and administration and all that, I would assume. No, is that something the board handles, or who's overseeing all of that?
That's the board. Well, yeah, right? Yeah.
Depends. Some clubs are structured a bit different for us because we're kind of limited numbers of people who really want to like put times into like organizing everything. The board kind of do everything. I know at a Canadian level, you have like the board, and then you have some subcommittee, like a management committee, like tournament ones. So I know in Montreal, because they're bigger, they have more people, they have a lot of subcommittee as well. For us, we try to create some, like we did for the Eastern Championship, but often it happens to be people who are already member of the board. But it is something really challenging, but also that we need to improve on, how to get more people involved and also delegate tasks better. Because we tend to have like this core of people who's been more used to it, and it's a bit our job to try to like transmit our knowledge and get more people implicated and get them the skills and the knowledge to like on their own start new project or work on different aspects of it. So right now we do deal with a lot, and also for tournament it's always what we learn, like the Irish way, like so we try to get better. I think in Quebec we're pretty good, like announcing stuff way earlier and try to organize stuff before. But what we learned from other clubs, like, tends to be last minute often, so we cannot go quicker than what the other club give us for information. But I think it's something like everybody's working on to improve, get more structured, because even though some clubs are running for a while, it's still like to get everybody together. Like we got the Eastern Canadian GA, subcommittee, which is like people from all the club of the Eastern, and we try to communicate all the information in the East and like get the tournament, see if everything is right, especially with the Easterns and stuff. But here at our level, I think for now, like we say, all the board manage a bit everything, but we need to get people more in touch, and like some stuff we wanted to develop, like youth program or more social activities or more like sponsor money, like fundraising activity. I think it's stuff we can get people that are not on the board implicated with, and we need to do better and recruit some people. For me especially, like I'd love, and one of our board member too, like our big goal in the next year would be to get a youth program, because we got some youth playing with us, but we don't have the structure to have enough to just hold the youth session. And also we don't have the pitches too, but that would come with time, I'm sure, because I think youth sport is a priority in Quebec City. And anyway, that's the way, if you want a club to survive, that's how we need to like get the younger player playing the sport and get implicated. So I think that that's stuff we can work on, but a lot of stuff on our plate. It's we got a lot of ideas. We just need more hands, more time, but working on it.
I will say one thing I find from meeting other clubs and going to these tournaments, which is probably it's one of the unique pleasures of playing this sport, is getting to go to a tournament like the one they had in Montreal a couple weekends ago, and being able to just finally be surrounded by people who also play these games and know them, instead of having to explain what they are, and also people who know them better than I do. But one thing I consistently hear at all those events is that every club has similar problems. I don't want to say the same problems, but similar. Questions of organizing stuff at the last minute, like you said, Gab, figuring out who's going to be on which team, who is reffing which game, how many people are showing up to training versus how many people are showing up before a tournament. Can we get a youth program started? Is our women's team going to survive? Like all these little, all these different challenges that kind of are on the mind of probably every board member in Canada. The one that we don't have is, when is our next Irish cousin coming over to play with us for the summer? Unfortunately, it'd be nice to have that challenge that some clubs have, but it is always nice to be reminded of things like that. We played the Easterns in Halifax 2 years ago, I think. Yes. And it was a wonderful tournament. And one thing I was reminded of is because Halifax, I believe, is even smaller than us in terms of membership. And there was actually, with the pandemic, I think there was concern that it might have to fold. And they didn't. And they hosted this wonderful tournament. And I was talking to the president and just thinking, yeah, this all sounds pretty familiar. It's, you know, all the logistics are complicated. Everybody's got big ambitions, and trying to turn them into the reality is the challenge that everybody's facing. But, you know, what's that phrase? If we don't dream, we die. So we got to keep dreaming and keep working at it.
For anybody who might be listening to this who is intrigued, not just by the aspect of, you know, what is Gaelic football and how does it play, but they see more on the end of, you know, this is a great way to build a community, to integrate or to integrate newcomers, but also bring together longtime residents and just people from all walks of life, from all sorts of backgrounds. What advice would you have for them, for somebody who says, you know, I'd love to have something like this where I live in my community?
First, don't be shy. Talk about your project to people. And as soon as you get a little core of people with the same goal or as motivated as you, keep talking about it and spreading how much it brings you joy or motivation. And you're going to get more people coming up. And it takes time to build stuff. Even though some year you might like get only a few, like just a few members, like say, it's not because 1 year you don't get a lot of people coming up that the next year the condition will not make it more attractive. Like, same with our club since 2006. I think the level always been up and down. You can have like, right now we're at 50, but like 4 years ago we were, I don't remember, when maybe 25. So I would say just wait, never give up, like keep your project, talk to as many people as possible of like what you want to build, and the right conditions are going to come when it's just going to grow. And then you're going to have like different challenge to face, but you're going to have like a base to work on who's going to be more solid. So for any kind of project, there is people interested and willing to discover a new thing, and you just need to find a way to reach them. Maybe find different way, not keep using the same trail, let's say, to meet new people and try different stuff, a bit like Facebook's good with that, like going to different groups. But that's what I would say, like the condition might not be like perfect right now, but at one point it will be, and you're gonna have like the project would just expand.
And I would also add, you hinted at it, Gab, but be open to how it can evolve. Like in your head, whatever your project is, you may say, okay, I want to find someone who can do this, or I want to find five people before I go any further, or something like that. But realizing that, you know, any collective effort like this, it always reflects the varied personalities that are in it, and being able to roll with that and realize, you know, a step forward, even if it's not exactly the step forward you were predicting, is still a step forward. Some form of expansion, some new way of trying it. Like I said, you know, you can tell a million people about this and get a little bit discouraged from, you know, not getting, you know, a positive response a lot. But then, you know, you can keep trying the same thing and you maybe get a type of response that you weren't expecting, but suddenly you have someone join. Sorry, I'm rambling, but I'll give an example. I'm a teacher, and I mention Gaelic football to my students. I do not take over the entire semester to talk to them about it, but I do mention it and just say, if you're interested, come try it. I have done that, and for a couple semesters, I was like, you know, this is getting kind of dumb. Like, they're not going to come play with their teacher. And sure enough, right as I was about the point of saying, this is dumb, I'm spamming them, I should stop, a student who I would not have predicted would come try it, came to try it, and she ended up on the board the next year. So you really, like, I never would have looked at her in class and said, you're going to try Gaelic football, aren't you? I never would have done that. But she showed up, and she gave a lot of her time to the club. And so you never quite know where it's going to come from, but if you keep, you know, sharing it with that message of being open to whatever may come and just saying, guys, this is worth trying, come give it a shot. You never know where it might lead, and you have to be open to where it might lead.
And I would add just something, like I say, one thing with us is, well, for me, since the beginning, I always thought, we welcome people when they're ready, because sometimes people have more time. Like, they'll be there for a whole year, super active, and then something happens, they might not be there, but they always welcome back whenever they're ready to come and try again. We had people stopping for years, and then, oh, yeah, they're different approach coming back. So a bit the same with any project. I think when you're somebody who put a lot of time into it, it's hard for you to see people having less time to put into it, but I think it's to accept that not everybody got the same energy and time, but any help is welcome. So, because you don't want to either push somebody out, because maybe that little help they can give is better than nothing. So it's different than having somebody just being there and doing nothing. But I think even somebody just like, they can have a really little role, but their role is important, and you don't want to like lose them by putting too much pressure on them. So I think it's just accepting all the levels of commitment that people can offer and making it work with that. That's how you still get people implicated over time, and you don't pressure them, because we do feel sometimes we pressure people like, are you coming? Are you coming? But we also want people to breathe and not overwhelm, because everybody got different, like they got family, they got like school or whatever. So,
Speaking of it being a big family, we welcome people to the degree that they are ready to be involved. I have to say that the cherry on top with the Eastern Championships last year was. The cherry on top was when I scored the only goal of my career. Booyah. I'm going to brag about that for the rest of my life. But left-footed, too, just so we're clear. In terms of organization, the cherry on top was we kind of, not at the last minute, but just to see what would happen, we sent a message to as many former members as we could. And to see the response that we got from some of them, some of these, you know, these people have been disconnected from the club. They started families. Maybe they thought the club disappeared because there were a small enough number of members at one point that maybe they could have thought that. But, you know, seeing our founders show up, and we now have a founder who is bringing his teenage kids to, or his teenage son and his friend, I think, to come play. And then standing on the sidelines at the Easterns last year, running around like crazy, trying to organize things and getting patted on the shoulder by someone who's been playing the sport since, you know, he was 3 years old back home in Ireland, saying, hey, this tournament's really good, is just like, it's such a fantastic feeling. And yeah, that's worth all of the extra time and effort.
And then more specifically, if somebody is interested in either finding if there's a Gaelic football club near them or interested in starting their own, how do they go about doing that?
Search the name of the town plus the letters GAA after it. I know I've actually done this because as you know, Hoffman, I'm originally from New England, and I was casting around to see what sort of teams there were that would be within a reasonable drive from Quebec City. And that's how I was doing it. I just searched name of town plus GAA, and then I think you stumble upon regional organizations and things like that. But
I'm sure they played in Boston. Is it big? And this is neither here nor there. Well, is it big elsewhere in New England?
Yeah, interestingly enough, it seems like Boston is to New England the way Toronto is to Eastern Canada, where it's so big that the teams from Portland and Hartford and Albany and Providence, and now if they're listening to this, which they may or may not be, don't get mad if I say this wrong, but basically those satellite teams, their level is that they have a challenge playing against the teams from Boston. Much like when Toronto comes and plays us, I didn't pay close attention the one time they were at a tournament with us, but they tend to be at a much higher level because they play.
I think it's because they, over there, they play, I think they play 15 or 11 aside. So they don't tend, like, let's say the biggest one from Toronto, they don't tend to go do nine aside tournament. The lady way more because sometimes the levels, but not lower, but it's different level. But
For what it's worth, at the Montreal tournament the weekend before last, there were the teams from Albany, Hartford, and a couple people from Portland were there. So it is, in that sense, it's international. It's unified by its connection to the Irish games as opposed to national boundaries. And if you're interested, New York is another level entirely. I think New York has actually sent a team to compete in the Irish competition at the highest level. I don't know if they've won, but they...
But like you said, you can Google anywhere. For Canada, you can go to the CGA, Canadian Gaelic Athletic Association website, and they got a list of all the clubs across Canada. And same, you have like all the information if you want to create your own club and join like the Canadian division. And that's also one of our roles, like at, I think it's the pro officer, but I don't know. It's in the description to like, if somebody reach out and they want to start a new club, like it's kind of like you're one of your job to like help them with that. Same with the Eastern Canada committees, if any club would want to grow in Trois-Rivières or somewhere else in the Eastern...
Hint, anybody in Trois-Rivières want to start a club?
I was just giving an example. Like, that's a big city in Quebec. Like, sure. They can reach out and we find all the information how they can do, like, and join, like, the Canadian Association and be part of the GA family. Which is not that much of a complicated process, but it's just a lot of work in general, like to start a club.
Yeah. The GAA does view, like if you read you can read the profiles online for organizational structure, and the club is like the building block. It's considered the foundational unit, and they have like a format that you're supposed to follow to found a club. Which then feeds into the county, which feeds into the province, which feeds into the overall organization.
So to find the Patriotes, I assume Facebook and website, and what's the best way to reach the club?
Facebook and Instagram are the best way. So on the Facebook page, you can just straight away coming right to us. Like, for example, we had a guy writing to us like a few years, not a few years, but a few weeks ago when I just came from practice earlier and he was there. I just say, oh, come on the Tuesday. We give them like the information for the next practice and when they can come, and they just will show them the basic. Same with Instagram, like go and follow our page. And if you find it us enough interesting to come and try, just send us a message and we'll be happy to share your next practice, the time of the next practice and where, and welcome you there.
We mentioned the new member fee a moment ago. We should be very clear that you are welcome to come try it for free. We're not going to.
Yeah.
We allow, obviously, we allow anybody to come try it, all ages, any gender, whatever, to come give it a shot. Just let us know, contact us first, and then we'll let the coach know and make sure that someone can walk you through the basics. And, you know, you may show up and it could be, maybe it's a quiet week, like last week was post-tournament, so maybe you'll have only, you know, a few players, and then some weeks you'll show up and the field will be full, and it's always worth showing up and asking us to show you the basics. We'll be happy to do it. I would go back to the fact that it's a sport, but the club is a unique structure, especially for adult sports. And in fact, I would argue one of the reasons we have trouble recruiting youth is not just because we don't have a dedicated youth program, it's because kids often have their sports already through school or through clubs that are sort of geared towards them. So as adults, finding a sports club where you can pay a flat membership fee and be a member for the next 12 months, regardless of how much you play, regardless of whether you're good, regardless of whether you show up at a tournament, what that opens up the door to is people integrating other elements of their life into what they find on the team. So you have people who are drawing connections to other sports, but then people who are, I mean, we have couples that have formed through the club, of course, but we also have
we do a lot of outdoors activities.
We do a lot of hiking together.
Like,
we have people who show up from overseas, and maybe their visa situation's unstable, or they need a job or something, and that word gets out pretty quickly. People moving, I'm not sure any member of the club has paid movers in the past 4 or 5 years, because every time somebody moves, they put up a message and they say, guys, we're moving, can anybody help? And usually there's, I don't want to say too many, but enough that, you know, many hands make light work. And in terms of it being, I guess there's that sense of, I mean, entraide works better in French, I guess, the sense of community support and the idea that, you know, you do this because it makes sense to do it. It isn't necessarily something that we put in the club mission statement. Like, when you sign up, when you pay your intro membership fee, you are not signing up to help somebody in the club move. But when you become an active member of the club, you may find that it's something you feel motivated to do in any case, regardless of the direct benefit to yourself, because this is someone that is a member of your community. Well, I have to say, I didn't see it as anything bigger than a fun little sport to try when I first tried it. And I think that's probably true for all of us. It was just try something new and see what happens. It provides a foundation for people to interact with each other. And, none of us, when we try it, none of us is envisioning that this will be the team that, you know, gets you to, what was the, Gab, we did overnight camping, I think, for the first time, both of us, on Mont de Morillos a couple of years ago. That was, everybody in that group was in the club. And you're not necessarily envisioning that when you start, when you show up to your first training session. But it, for whatever reason, this, maybe it's because it's a weird sport and you have to be just the right amount of weird to try a weird sport. But for whatever reason, there's a shared I don't know, familiarity or community that builds around the idea of this is more than just, yeah, I guess everybody's more than just a Gaelic football player. You know, we're also soccer players, basketball players, teachers, accountants, computer programmers, engineers, whatever. And all those, yeah, musicians as well. We got plenty of those too. And all of that gets integrated into this club because it isn't specifically about show up for these games at these times and, you know, play the sport, you know, and then go home. We play a sport that nobody knows and often go to the bar. So, we keep the sense of community alive in everything we do.
It's just, well, for me, the way I promote the sports and the way we promote it in general and try to find sponsor is not selling just the sports, but mainly the community that it brings. I think that the main idea why people join the club at first, yes, the sport was interesting, but it was always like hanging out with people after. And most importantly, the community we build, because what we have like is for us, it's like a chat where everybody's is. So from that chat, we grew up like a lot of side groups where we get like cyclist group, like hiking group, hockey group. So it's just a thing. We kind of find out a community of people who wanted to play, do activities. And that's a huge like if somebody wants to do something, they can just throw it on a Saturday. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of going play ice hockey. Anybody's available. And often you get a lot of people answering. So I think that's a big thing for people who come and don't like just arrive in Quebec looking for things to do. Like first you're going to play Gaelic football, but then you're going to also have the opportunity to do a lot of other activities with people who just want to go and be outdoors with like the not necessarily always the same close friends, but with different people. So I think for me that was a big thing. Like that's how you don't get to just say do the same thing and just see the people at Gaelic football. You get a chance to like everybody you meet, you might see them go at one of their music show, you're gonna maybe go support them like somebody did like a comédie musicale, like a musical, and other people were like doing other activities. Yeah. So you kind of like it's just a big group of people who like all play Gaelic football, but then all those side interests, you can like just go and share them and maybe see in that group the good people interested doing that. So I think that's a big way to like get people to get in touch with others without being just on Facebook looking for strangers because you know them already through something. So for me, that's the big part. And I think same in Montreal, like the way I see it, it was always about much more the community around it. And that's what I hope we keep building. You need help, just send a message for something. You need help moving. You want to start something different. Like,
and that goes back to the idea of everybody's, we are happy to have everybody involved to the degree that they want to be and to the degree that they are able to be. And, you know, if you're a touring musician who can't be there for 8 weeks out of the season, well, guess what? When you come back, you can come to practice. And vice versa, if you're putting on a show, you can tell the entire club, hey, come check out this show that I'm doing. And maybe not, certainly not everybody, but those who are interested can check it out. So if you're someone who, certainly this is the case for, I think it was the case for a lot of us back in 2020, when we were talking about the time where we had that core group during the pandemic that went on a lot of hikes together and all that sort of thing. One thing that a lot of people in that group had in common is, again, they were single or they were living with roommates. And also during the pandemic, everybody wanted to socialize because we couldn't do it enough. And so now you still see, to a certain extent, that dynamic where people who are new to Quebec, who try it out, who maybe aren't that interested in team sports, but they like the people, come to a practice once in a while. But more often we hear about them because they're inviting us to a show or they're inviting us to go for a bike ride or something like that. And then at the same time, there's the people who are really, really into it, who decide before their birthday that they really want a live band that they will play in at their birthday party. And they happen to find all the necessary band members within the club, which has happened. Still exists. Come check out the One Night Pats. I'm not in the one night pass, but they'll appreciate the promotion.
Yeah, it's kind of why I want to talk to you guys. And I thought it would be a good example of something that's it's not so, you know, starting from like this big whole thing you have to do. And, you know, first you have to get all the bylaws and you have to get all this stuff, but it can just spring from a bunch of people getting together and grow out that way. So there's so many ways to do the social economy. And I think you guys are an example of that. May not be the way you identify yourselves, but that's okay, because you're a revenue generating nonprofit and you do it really well, and you're growing and have all these things. So yeah,
I think part of the reason we may have difficulty filling in the words for just the, you know, what makes us a social economy enterprise and what, how we fit into, I guess, the subject of this podcast is the fact that we're, like you said, Hoffman, we're motivated more by what we spend our time doing than by what words you would use to describe it. At some point, it comes down to a bunch of people who want to kick a ball around for fun on a field. And then there's tons and tons of things that go into that. There's bylaws, there's language, there's the Irish culture considerations, there's, you know, how to recruit, all these different practical concerns. But when it comes down to it, it's, hey, the sport's kind of cool. I wish there were more people who played it.
But just to come back, But I just want to say, like, I think any group you want to start, like the community you build around it, can do so much more than the main goal where you aim for it. I think that's how we get into a bit like social economy. That's like our main goal was specific on sports, but sorry, the dog is like scratching in the back. I don't know if you can hear it. A bit. But basically it's that, like, I think every community you build, the bigger it gets, you get access to more like more side opportunity. And then you can not only like take from those people what they can offer to you, but you can also give it back. And that's a bit what we're doing when we go and help somebody moving or help somebody finding a job or whatever. Like, I think that's the strength of any like group that you have, like a nonprofit organism or whatever. The more people you can have together, the bigger the community, but then you can do much more than your main goal. Even though this goal is still there, I think getting people involved in that, that's how you're going to give back in some way. Because for me, that's how I see it. I hope the club can be more implicated in some side, like help some fundraising for other groups. So personally, that's how I would like. It gives up the opportunity to be seen, to be known, but also a way to get back. Like, we got sponsored helping us, but we also want to help maybe other group develop or something. So I think that's also a personal goal. But as one of the board member, I think that's some stuff I'd like in the future. We develop a bit more.
Like, on that note, a perfect example is the Montreal Pride Tournament, right? Where I think this is the fifth year of it. They do credit to them. They decided they wanted to have a fundraiser for Pride-related causes.
That's the LGBTQ community in Montreal.
And I believe that was the first tournament I ever played in. And now in my head, it's not even, I mean, it is about fundraising, but it's also about Gaelic football. And it's, you know, I never would have told you 10 years ago that I'd be playing in a Pride fundraising Gaelic football tournament. But it's, you never know.
In a city you don't live in.
In a city I don't live in, yes. You never know where these things are going to lead. And if you're, you know, consistent in your principles and pushing in the right direction, can lead to some pretty interesting places.
Well, thanks so much, guys, for joining us. I really appreciate it. And I'm always impressed by what you've created here in Quebec City. It is an important part of the community, especially for people who are looking to make connections in the city and may not have that yet. So appreciate you guys being on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Come try Gaelic football, guys. Look us up, Les Patriotes de Québec, GR.
Thanks so much to Gabrielle and Jody for joining us today. It was great to talk to them, and I hope you got a different perspective from them on what a social economy enterprise can be. If you have any thoughts or comments, or there's a social economy enterprise you'd like to see featured on the podcast, don't hesitate to reach out to us at info@cnet.ca. That's info@SEE-NET.ca. We'll talk to you next time. This podcast project has been made possible with the financial support of the Secretariat aux Relations avec les Québécois d'Expression Anglaise.